Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team. Yes, whole team. Yes, yeah.
All right, here we go. Starting the 4 o'clock hour. Thanks again to Bill Shaken for joining us, talking about the baseball future of the A's in Oakland and certainly about the Dodgers, Giants, and more. But this hour, we've got much more in the NBA Finals. We got our NBA draft player profile today, Moses Moody.
Moody.
That's coming up in our next segment. But, DC, let's do a little either or.
Shall we?
To start the 4 o'clock hour, kind of an NBA Finals slash Olympic edition of either or. So we'll start with this. The two teams that are in the finals, Bucks and the Suns, either or, better chance of returning to the finals.
Bucks.
Pretty easy answer.
Yeah, I think that is.
How do the Suns do it?
Because
they had some good fortune, but they capitalized on that. Even with the injuries, though, we can't forget they were the two seed. They had a great regular season. You don't believe it?
No.
You don't think they can do it?
Uh-uh. I don't think unless they
get another player.
Yeah, unless they get another player. Like, I do know one thing. Like, this type of a run builds confidence in different things. How do I quantify that? They were in the bubble and went 8-0, and they come back and here you are as a two seed. Like, could they do it? Like, if the Lakers, let's take them out and say LeBron's aging and AD has more issues with injury. Okay, that's one way. You take them out. I think that that Utah team is going to grow from what they've been through, and they're a pretty good team. They're going to be back in it. I really think that the Denver Nuggets come back into the mix if they're able to get Murray back and he's healthy. Who else am I missing in the Western Conference?
Well, Lakers, Clippers, you said Jazz, Suns. Yeah.
Right.
Kings.
And I would – well, I'm going to say Kings. I would say, like, when we played them, they didn't – they don't scare me. Like, I'm not like, oh, the Suns. I just don't feel that way. I look at our team and go, okay, we could compete against you guys. Now, whether we win or not or is whatever, but
Warriors would be a problem.
There you go.
Blazers could be, depending on what – if they add with Dame or certainly what happens with them. But what if they added a player like – DeMar DeRozan. That's a area. Like, I feel like if Bridges was a reserve and they had a better shooting guard slash small, Booker's a shooting guard, small forward-ish.
Or even if you took, not the small forward,
Crowder.
Maybe bring Crowder off the bench.
One of the two.
Yeah. Or maybe you convince DeMar DeRozan to be sixth man of the year
now. But then is the guys on the floor at the end. I mean, because I looked at that's where it was Booker's your number one answer. But if it's, hey, it's maybe Booker's guarded by Holiday or becoming a problem, well, we'll go to option two, and we're more than comfortable at being DeRozan right now.
Yeah, they do need that next option. And Chris Paul showed sporadically. Mm-hmm. And I also think, like, understand, like, LeBron is a freak of nature at his age. Chris Paul turned vegan, a lot of different things, but he is on the back nine. And what do they dedicate to him? There's a chance that he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I think he does, but there's a chance that he doesn't. And I think you have to save him to the playoffs and try to make sure he's his best version of himself because the season could wear on him. We've seen that he's had injuries. Now he got the wrist with torn ligaments. He's had the hamstring. He's had different stuff. He had the neck during the playoffs earlier on. So this is something that could happen. They do need a number three, but that can be two.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's where they got him. You got Giannis.
Yep.
You got Middleton. And you got Holiday.
Yeah, and sometimes it was Middleton, sometimes Holiday. Times it was Middleton. But
right.
And then
on the, and on the other nights when, like last night, Middleton and Holiday weren't hitting, you got Lopez step up. Yeah. You got Bobby Portis that made some big shots. You got Connaughton, who, let's not forget about him. Like two games ago, he really helped them out. Why I also think that they got the kid that we tried to get, DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
Like
he will help them.
Them a lot.
Yep.
So, I don't know that Suns can do it. Their fans probably think otherwise.
Sure.
But
and
I'm here to tell you that we may smack them.
Either or. Now, I thought of you on this one because I mean, what a great problem to have. And maybe this answer is too obvious, but I've heard you and others say there's nothing like winning on the road. But the frame this way, either or, winning a title at home or on the road. Now, does the title frame it differently?
Yeah.
Because a home party is...
like, ain't no party.
Yeah. But
like
you also
going to get party.
The double party of like, hey, it's just the 30 traveling party. There'd be some fans on the road.
Yeah.
And then when you got home...
Well, don't let's not. Why? How are we gonna overlook the plane ride, bro?
Oh, that's a, that never. That's
we turn it up.
Yeah. Well, okay. So either or, winning a title at home or on the road.
I want to win it in front of the fans, yeah. Especially when I think of our fans, and I looked at what the Bucks fans were able to experience together. Like there were probably some elderly folks there that have never seen it. There were some people, like I've met people who've come up and said, man, my mom was in hospice and just like tearjerkers. Like those are the people that you just like, dude, we got to get this done. Like all of that was experienced yesterday in Milwaukee. Like, yeah, I get it. On the road, shut up, everybody. We're the champs. Now we're leaving your city. Nah, we're going to party now.
Yep.
Until.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, don't no one leave. We'll just be here. The parade will kind of come through. We'll figure it out.
I thought one of the better moments once, like the fans know, I won't say sooner, players will let go later because, hey, weird things can happen in the NBA. But I think it was, you know, X amount of seconds, and it might have been a 6 or 7 point lead, and it was when Giannis was walking down to the other end, and he's like, it's over. Like, yeah. I'm letting it go. And then when he jumped and shoulder bumped and hugged Tucker, it was like, That was the release of, like, we did it.
Can you imagine?
And in front of the home fans.
Oh, man. For me, it's not close. I love playing on the road. It was one of my favorite things because I just love shutting the
Maybe the title opposition. Game's the way it frames it.
But, yeah, the way that you frame that, yeah, bring me right here to Golden 1 and get her done.
I think I know this answer, but it's kind of along the same lines. Either or, finals MVP or regular season MVP?
Finals.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
Just because it ends with the trophy that you're playing for.
Yeah, because most likely you won. Now, there's been a couple times.
True.
Like, the one time I thought LeBron should have won it
when Iggy won it.
Yeah.
Who did it? Jerry West?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry West did it. Yeah.
That usually happens when you average 45 points.
Yeah. What if it was framed that way? Finals MVP in a loss or regular season MVP? Still got to the finals.
Ain't nobody, man. I ain't trying to hear. No, I ain't feeling the loss.
Good would you have to be to win a MVP
What Chris said, you'd have to be LeBron-esque in that. You'd have to be 45. You'd have to be you were the standout, but your team was defeated.
If the Suns won last night in the way – like Booker, that was not his best game. He was so good in the series. And then maybe Giannis had another 50 in game 7 and lost. Like, who was the Suns MVP if they won? It was probably Booker.
Yeah.
But could that have been close? Like, if Giannis put a 50 in a loss in game 6 and another heroic in a loss, like, could he have? It probably would have gone to
the Suns. Well, what I would figure is in that closing game, because first of all, one of them would have done something last night to get him over the hump.
Right.
Then in the closing game between Chris Paul and Devin Booker, like if Devin had like 26 and Chris Paul had like 38, you could give it to Chris Paul. I could see it happening. But most likely, Devin has been more consistent.
Yeah, to trick it up, it would have to almost be like the Iguodala situation where you're like, well, he won it as opposed to Steph or Clay or Draymond.
Yeah.
It would have been like Ayton was the star of 6 and 7. Was that enough?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or anyway, okay. Either or, a world record – or a gold medal. Now, the contingency there is, okay, maybe in one of your heats, you set the world record, but you didn't win the medal. So, world record or gold medal?
Wait, how would that happen?
You could win in a heat. You could win in like
race two,
and then you get to the finals, and you just someone beat you, and you didn't break.
Yeah, I'm going to I'm about the thing.
The final thing.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, you and I talked about 10 years of playoffs for the Kings or a championship.
Right. Championship.
Give me the championship. So give me the gold medal. Good for you. You got the world record. But you're either not on the top box,
yeah,
or you're standing lower than me beside me.
I wonder if there's a record, like Bob Beamon had the long jump record forever.
Forever, yeah.
If like someone ran just an incredible 100, because that seems to be like one of the more prestigious things. If you were beat Usain Bolt, you had the world record, and then you didn't win the gold medal. But like in 15 years, it's like, oh yeah, Doug Christie ran, is the fastest man ever. Wait, he never won the gold medal? Like, I think people might revere that more over time, but you individually go, yeah, I didn't win the gold medal.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at the accomplishment of, because you set out to do something. You didn't set out to get the world record. You set out to get the gold medal. If you get it, great.
Can I add to it? Okay, so set the world record, and you get the gold medal, but they take it away because you're juicing.
All right, Bob Johnson. Or is that his name?
No, it was
Ben.
Ben Johnson. Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob's his cousin.
Yes.
Yeah.
He ran legit. But he ran a 16.00.
Man, that's too legit.
Yeah, to quit. He got lapped in the 100, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Hey. Bob Johnson. All right, last one, either or, with the Olympics.
He owned the Bobcat.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Touche.
And BET, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Opening ceremonies or closing ceremonies? To me, it's opening.
I would agree with you.
Because there's a closing ceremonies?
What's that?
Yeah, there is.
I know.
Yeah, I'd go opening too.
I think there's more. That's the anticipation. What's ahead? What are we going to see?
Right.
All the countries. I mean, there's great things in the closing ceremonies. Yeah. But
there's so much drama in the Olympics. Like, I know Chris talks about all the politics.
Yeah. Well, there's that too.
There is. But when the athletes get to perform, in the struggles, and somebody, you remember
the storytelling.
A couple Olympics ago, where the guy comes in running and he can't finish, and his dad runs on the track.
So powerful.
And they try to like wave him off, and he's like, "Get away from
me!
This is my son.
Yeah, we're finishing.
And
this
we
race.
Are finishing."
One of the great moments.
I'm just yeah. Like, oh my god,
it's my allergies.
Yeah. Babe, turn the air off.
But that's it. They're, you know, networks are so good about coming up with that storytelling. And then you just, oh, man, their story. I'm rooting so
even,
much for them.
I don't know if you saw this, because I don't think you did. It was the Olympic trials for swimming.
Mm-hmm.
They had Michael Phelps up on.
Right.
And he, did you see that?
Yeah.
Just him talking about what is now considered, and they were talking about, the greatest race ever.
Yep.
It was at the 4x1.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "When did you know?" And he said, with about 15 meters to go, he said, "You know, just as an athlete, similar to like when I'm talking to you about the stuff that I see, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's hurting. Oh, hips are, oh boy. Oh, we got a chance." Like when they turned, he was like a couple lengths. Like there's no way.
Of one of the fastest swimmers ever.
Ever.
And he ran.
But his. Down. His 100 was the, I think he said 46. His 100 split was like the fastest ever. But that's what you needed to do to be able to catch. And then the reach.
Right at the
end. Webb, we just needed an extra centimeter, baby.
God. All right, that is
who brings that up?
I don't know. I don't even know where that came from. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. When Doug and I return, draft player profiles continue. Today, we look at Moses Moody. Could he be selected by the Kings next week's draft? We'll discuss that next on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, 5 on it, coming your way at the top of the next hour. Still the crossover to wrap up the show. No A's baseball today. They are back tomorrow in action against Seattle Mariners.
Attaboy!
That's right. Get ready for that
Those
series.
Piping hot Mariners!
We'll have more on that preview coming up, but let's continue our NBA draft player profiles, DC. 1 week from tomorrow, the Kings will be on the clock at number 9. At least that's what they're scheduled to do right now. They also have a second-round pick at 39. We've looked at a couple of players so far. Josh Giddey is a potential guy at number 9. Franz Wagner, we talked about him yesterday. Today, let's spotlight a guy that's in that range, anywhere from before the Kings to after, to right around 9. Moses Moody.
Hey.
Initial thoughts on him after he's coming out into the draft. kind of a 6'6", 6'7"-ish, but they said that with the size and strength, can kind of go three if need be, two, three.
Seven foot to 7.5 feet wingspan. So, I mean, he's covering a lot of space. From the things that I've saw on him, I see an NBA player there. I see the ability to play defense, use the long wingspan. I'm thinking like Bridges a little bit with that type of length. Offensively, there's some craftiness to his game. He has the ability to pass the ball. I mean, there's a lot to like in Moses Moody. I think you got to get a chance to see him in person, kind of get the vibe of – because what I'm saying is raw. I see the rawness of him. Now we gotta polish that up. But there's something. There's definitely something there. The kid's a player.
When we're talking about raw, sometimes I hear ceiling. Do you see a big ceiling for him, or is the raw just needs to refine the things that he does well, and then work on the things that you know are some, would be considered weaknesses? Because sometimes you take a guy going like, there's unlimited potential.
That's how I would look at him. Okay. Like if he's on the board and some other guys that are falling, like he is a talent. And we're saying 6'6", 225, 7 foot wingspan, 19 years old, from Little Rock, Arkansas, University of Arkansas. He gave you – 34 minutes a game, 17 points, 42% shooting, 35 from behind the arc, almost 36, 81 from the free throw line, 5 rebound, almost 6, 5.8 rebounds. I love that. That means that he's willing and crafty enough to come back and get his hands on some basketballs. The assist could come up, 1.6 assists.
Yeah, assist to turnover is not very good.
Yeah, well, and then he's got one steal and almost a block. But there's a lot to like. Like you watch his film, you see, okay, I see him driving to the hoop. I see alley-oops thrown to him. I see him finishing at the basket above the hoop. I see him taking a hit and finishing. I see him pulling up for threes, steals in transition. Like as a basketball player, and you know this is why I like him, I like a someone who plays the whole game. Like, okay, do you need a sniper? Yeah, but give me a bunch of these type of guys, got some dog in them, going to get after it. I think that you compete at a high level.
And again, I know we say positionless basketball, but that 6'6 range, if he's, I don't know what he officially measured as.
Wings.
So three,
yep.
Two, okay.
And this is my other thing. Like we see some of the players around the league, not necessarily Mo Harkless, but the ability to – can he grab the ball and bring the ball up? So now I'm not calling him a point guard, but can you run the offense through him sometimes? Yeah, I think that is something that when you look at Moses Moody, that something that – now, it might not be right now at this particular time, but that's what Summer League is for. That's what the California Classic is for. Here, kid, have the ball. Does he get ripped? Does he turn it over? Yes. But for a true player, for somebody who has the drive within them to be great and wants to be really good, by getting ripped and having failures, that sends them to the gym. So now when I start talking to him as a coach, guess what he does? He's E.F. Hutton.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's listening to me because he's had some failures. But if you just put him in a position where he was, like, he's a type of player that I see expansion. There's more to him. Is he willing to give that of himself?
Yeah, and so much of the talent evaluation, too, has to be – like, he was successful in Coach Musselman's offense, but was – is that an offense that's going to fit the Kings, that's going to be an NBA to fit the most out of him? I mentioned the lack of assisted turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Is he – where's the playmaking ability? I mean, he scored, so he's a scorer. He can get to the foul line. He can hit some jump shots, but – can he create for himself? Can he create from others?
And does he see the floor?
Yeah. The tape doesn't.
You see him pass. That's not what we're saying.
He's not a black hole by any means, but it's just like even watching the last two comparisons, Giddey and Wagner, I see a guys that kind of create some things for others.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But I think of him as a better scorer.
Yeah.
Even without, you know, you feel like, though, if you can also create for others, that also will help. I mean, it just makes you more versatile, and you would be a guy that would defend him and go, okay, I got to stop him. Mm-hmm. But if I'm stopping him, but he's still getting others involved, that makes him more of a weapon.
I'll use Buddy Hield, and then I'll use Tyrese Haliburton.
Yes.
Two players.
Yep. That's a good example.
If I'm guarding Buddy, I my spidey sense goes away for people on the floor.
Yeah, you're not leaving him very much.
Yep. And when he has the basketball, I'm not worried about others as much. When Tyrese has the ball, he's playing a five-man style of basketball. Buddy is a sniper. He's there for one purpose. And I've always said to Buddy, the more you're able to do, it's going to help your team, but it's also going to help you. Well, Tyrese, however he figured it out, similar to Luka, like, they make everyone on the floor an option, which scares the hell out of you, because now you can't just lock in on one certain thing. You do take something away, but knowing that they have the ability to take. So with Moody, that would be like, are you willing? Do you see? Put him in situations in workouts and different things where, did you see that there? What did you see when you came off? You didn't see him? Okay, well, now you need to check your rearview mirror when you come off the pick and roll.
Right.
Please.
Yeah.
Look left, look right, and see what's there.
Yeah, and the other part, how similar then in our conversation yesterday, not as the player, because Wagner and Moody are different types of players, but they're kind of in the same, are you drafting the backup to Harrison Barnes? And I think you had said yesterday, well, I could see that. That'd be okay with Wagner. That's a good. It's always good to learn behind a guy like Harrison Barnes. You feel the same way here with a guy like Moody?
Yeah, there's another one, and we'll go over him, Duarte.
Yeah, from Oregon.
From Oregon. I like him a lot. Yes, I think so. I would not necessarily like, will there be a natural change, or is there a trade? Or yes, there will be. But Harrison, I'm a big fan of Harrison. See, because I think he does so many different things that people don't realize. Well, one of them would be, yeah, grab my pocket, follow me, let me show you how this thing is done.
To be a professional.
To be a pro. He's a pro's pro. Not to mention, he's highly productive. So for me, and he's got a de-escalating contract. For me, like, he's untouchable. Like, leave my man alone. He's delivered in high leverage moments. He won a world championship. Like, there's so many positive things. Like, do we have anybody else that's won a world championship on our team?
No.
See? Damn. That's what I mean. Like, if that's the goal.
He's been there.
Talk to him about it. Yeah. Ask him questions. What was it like? How was it when you ran out? During that moment? This moment? Like, they're valuable nuggets that either you ask somebody or you won't know till you get there, or you'll never freaking know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two.
Yeah.
When you happen to have somebody right here. Like, to long-windedly answer your question, yes, he's exactly what I would like to Harrison to beat up on every day and school him and show him the ropes.
Looking at mock drafts, Doug, I've seen Moody as high as 7 and down about 14. So he's in that range. I'm sure he's on their radar. Is he the fit?
From 5 to 14.
5 is where it changes,
yep,
huh?
Everything is going to kind of be in flux, and you got to have the eye, because there are some players that are going to be better than the top players in that area. Maybe not then the one out of the 5 that just blows up. Okay, maybe not, but I'm talking really quality players.
Yeah.
There are a couple in this draft.
Where, like, people go, wow, how'd the Kings get Halliburton at 12? Can you do it 2 years in a row?
Can you? Will you?
Yeah, exactly. More NBA draft player profiles as the days go on. That was our look at Moses Moody. When we come back, we'll recap again the NBA Finals. So many memories, including one made today. I think Giannis, some great stuff. We'll talk about what he did today and more as we continue here.
We're
on
feeling KHK. Moody.
Car. A Mini Cooper.
Yeah. I was ran over by a go-kart.
How old?
Let's see. Elementary.
Last week.
No. I wouldn't have made it. My bones were subtle.
Oh.
They were very.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just took out a chunk of hair. And
you were young. Yeah.
I was probably 8. Somebody had put together like some green machine wheels. Built a go-kart, a little high off the ground.
Yeah. There were cars back then?
I had a bike over me, too.
Did you?
A bicycle. Yeah.
A bicycle?
Yeah.
Did you have track down your back?
No, it was kind of over, right over the midsection.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Was it one of those big, tall ones where you have to get a...
It's a unicycle. And the guy was juggling.
Really?
No. Yeah.
On purpose?
I can't remember the exact...
I can't remember either if they... Like... If you're coming down a hill, this is a pretty good hill.
Yeah.
This is a pretty good hill in Seattle, right? I couldn't get out of the way. And I'm pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Your boy's agile. At that point, I was a bit hostile.
And you got hit by a projectile. But you made it. You live to see another day.
I'm here. That's why Coach always said you got to screw loose.
And you agreed with him.
I do.
I would agree. Coachy and I agree. Ask us, Chris and Jay.
Wow. That's a lot of agreement. Can I approach the bench?
Nope. We do not agree with that. All right, DC, let's look back at kind of some final thoughts on the finals, on the NBA season. Certainly some things to sort out. One note, it was the Scott Foster game.
You know what? I didn't even think of that.
But
Scott gave him a couple calls. I don't say gave. Excuse me. But
a factor. I didn't. I mean, he was there. It did cross my mind, but I didn't look at it. They got Scott Fostered. He was the ref.
It is 0-13, bro.
That is something.
It is a thing.
That is something.
Wow.
How do you explain to me of all the? There's two almost marvels for the finals to me, and they both revolve around Giannis. One that he played. And played that well based on what we saw when he got injured.
Just take a snapshot of the pitcher at its apex, reversed, grotesque point.
And what's interesting for me to now think back on it, on our text chain, I didn't see the play when it happened live. I saw our text chain. I'm like, oh, no. And then by the end, as he's up, he's walking off. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. And so then when I saw it, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He's done for a year.
Yes.
And then he played.
Right.
And played amazingly, historically well. That fact. And then how do you explain the free throws last night? I mean, that is, Doug, he had a game this year.
He shacked us.
1-for-10 and had two air balls in a game. And last night in a game that they needed all those free throws, what was he, 16 of 18, 17 of 19, something like that?
Confidence, rhythm. And you know what I'll compare it to in golf? Have you ever had a good swing thought?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you just stand over ball, you feel good,
and
the results
like,
are
there's
good.
One thing, like, I remember Jack Nicklaus saying this, like, he said the normal golfer has a problem with thinking of one thing, maybe two during a swing.
Yeah.
He said, I can think of like 7 or 8 while I'm swinging.
Come on, Jack.
Which is next level.
That's why he's so
but
great.
He's a genius, right? Yeah. I have a feeling that, like, for instance, if I said to De'Aaron, go to the line, okay? And he missed. And I'm like, up before out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what I'm sending you with. Nothing else. And then all of a sudden he gets in a rhythm and starts hitting them. It's a thing. I don't know what his thing was last night. He would probably tell us that it wasn't any different. But he found something and he wrote it, which is very, very smart.
But if I told you he was going to have a good free throw shooting night on 19 attempts, I'd have gone 11?
Yeah.
Maybe 12?
Yeah.
17?
Well, this is the thing, Jason. I'm going to tell you this about Shaq. I'm going to tell you about any bad free throw shooter.
Yeah.
If the Joe and Nancy fan came to practice,
yep.
That's how you'll see him shoot.
Yeah, he'll make a lot.
So he found his practice rhythm, which is similar to jump shooting and playing. The game slows down. I see it in front of me. I don't feel the pressure. I'm just out here playing. That's what he found in Game 6 of the finals.
I mean, and really, he does have a routine. I know they would count in Phoenix, but like he was, you know, hang on.
Yeah. Let me Steve Nash it. So let's not act like Giannis is the only one that does it.
Yeah. Breath. Get the ball. I think it's 4 or 5.
No, you got to do the thing first.
Oh, yeah. The motion. So, I mean, but he was very consistent in the routine. And then obviously a few went in. I remember there's one, it might have been 2 trips in a row. So it was 4 free throws. I think they all bounced in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those could go either way, but they all go in. And then there's some swishes, obviously. And
I would even ask him, and I've said this to you because whenever I'm working with an athlete about shooting or anything, the first thing I ask is, what do you look at?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised.
Right.
The rim, it's like, exactly. And this is, I take it back to golf because I figure Tom Morton does this very well. And I'd asked him about chipping and we're standing 6 feet off the green in the rough. Green's there, holes another 10 feet onto the green. And he's like, okay, chip it on. And I said, well, what's your process? He says, okay, well, what are you looking at? And I said, you know, right in that area right there. He said, no, Exactly. Like, you need
pick
to hit
spot.
Pick a penny.
Yeah.
Pick a pin hit.
Right.
That's where you lie. Because then your miss off of that is going to be way different than kind of, sort of, I'm shooting over there someplace.
And it'll tell you. If you're way off, it's like, okay, why was I 6 feet to the right? I really missed my target.
I have a feeling that he either had a good swing thought, he saw something when he looked up there, and then he just kind of and knocked him down.
And had some success and rolled on. Did you see his social or Instagram post today at Chick-fil-A?
No, but you told me about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He pulls up to a Chick-fil-A. Obviously, I don't think they ever, I don't know, on those nights, you don't sleep, right? You just keep going. You have a lot of interviews, a lot of fun, a lot of champagne, a lot of party, and all of it. You need to do all that. Good for them. He's got the finals trophy, the MVP trophy, with him in his ride. Pulls up to Chick-fil-A, and it's one of those where probably a long line, so they have someone that's out.
It was in a seatbelt?
It looked like it was just in the, like, he was
just holding it,
cradling it. Like,
okay.
It was a companion.
Right.
And told the young lady that, hey, do you mind if I film? Because there's 150,000 people watching right now.
Oh, boy.
And she's like, sure. And
let me do my job, right?
It was, could I have 50, not 51, not 49, and I don't know if it was minis. I don't know what he was ordering.
Chicken mini.
Minis, and then half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice, please. Polite.
That's called and that drink a Giannis?
That's a great order, too, by the way, on the drink.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to go half and half, and it's all on Instagram. Then people are like, Giannis, can I touch the trophy? And all that kind of stuff. Yeah, quick. And
well, you let him touch the trophy.
He did. One guy did.
I've never even touched a trophy. Have you touched a trophy?
Nope.
My son has.
Really?
Yeah, we went down to, I know, it's weird. I didn't want to do it. We went down to Orlando when the All-Star game was there. And they had the trophy there, and you could go up and take a picture with it. And I was like, you want to take a picture with a champ? He was like, yeah, Dad. You know, he's a little guy then. He's like, yeah. So he went up. He was like, come on, Dad. I was like, nah, I didn't earn it, so I'm good. Not a thing.
I've touched the Premier League trophy and the FA Cup trophy.
Ah, okay.
And the League Cup trophy.
Okay.
And the Community Shield.
Damn. Touched a lot of things. Keep your hands to yourself, bro.
Are they clean?
Yeah. But yeah, I got a picture, him in the trophy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I have to earn it. If I earn it,
yeah,
I'm going to hug it and
that's a special
do all
moment.
Types of
special moment.
Stuff.
Special moment for the fans. It's another moment last night, too. Not only the home crowd, the people in the arena, the support. And you said it perfectly, Doug, because, I mean, I think any Kings fan that watches that is happy for Milwaukee, certainly, but you go, that could be here. That's what it would look like. Doko would be crazy. The in-arena would be crazy. Would it be even like, remember the show you and Grant did out at for the Republic rally?
Oh, man.
I could even
beautiful.
See it. Like, we're all talking about Doko, but maybe it's even a little off-site in the Capitol Plaza and screen. And, you know, do you have 100,000 people out there?
Remember when we were out there and we were on the fire trucks?
The Monarchs had a parade.
No,
like that.
We were out there for something, and there was a local person that had saved somebody.
Okay.
I can't remember, but when we rounded, I said to myself, oh.
Yeah.
This is what's supposed to go down, because the Capitol was there, and now we're coming down Capitol Mall, and the people were there. I can't remember what that was for. It was, and then we had it was nice, but.
Yeah.
I can see it too, Jason.
Some other standouts to me, I mentioned Monty. I know you know him. Have always been impressed by him as a human being, certainly as a coach.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest, most powerful things I've ever seen was his eulogy for his wife. I mean,
oh yeah,
just, I mean, incredible, right. Incredible class, poise. And then the moment that's been seen, but other people have got into the locker room before and congratulated people. I think that's a great thing to do. It's just even the words. What he said, you made me a better coach. You made us a better team. Thank you. And congrats. Like, classy.
Yeah.
I mean, just an world-class human being.
I texted him last night, and he hit me back. I won't say what was said, but he is a he's a good person. He speaks from the heart in a way that it's not necessarily emotional. Now, I will say, when he got up, did you see his press conference, though?
I did. He hurts for the guys that didn't win it.
You darn right. Because I think also, Monty, he was there in Game 7 when we were with the Knicks and lost to Indiana. Like, probably think, oh, you'll get back. No, it doesn't work like that. Right here, Game 7, double over. Like, oh, we'll be back next year.
I thought you would be.
No, it doesn't. That's not how it works. And I think he understands because I just said to you, I don't see them getting back there. I think that even like Chris said, teams like the Kings, like, man, you got to start believing that this is a possibility. They had about as good a chance as anybody will have at taking home the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and that's with the emotion you saw. But a class act to go in the locker room, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm the head coach. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's a difficult moment for you, too.
It is.
It hurts Monty. Of course he wanted to win. He hurts first players. Here's some of what Monty said about Chris Paul.
Guys like Chris who've had these unreal careers, and yet they get penalized because they haven't won a title. You know, that was my goal, was to win it for him and Book. You know, those guys have carried us all year long. And Chris is my second time coaching him. I know what he puts into his craft. I know the dedication. And so when I hear those sentiments about his career because he hasn't won a championship, it's just silly.
And Doug, you've said it time and time again, the league is becoming less and less. There is what you run, sets and schemes and X's and O's.
Yeah.
But it's relationships. And why would you not want to play for Monty?
I
would.
Yeah, I absolutely would. One thing that Monty, the same thing that he said to the Bucks about making him better, that's the same thing that he says to his players. Mm-hmm. I am, don't take it as I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that in today's basketball, it seems that if I get on you and criticize you, now we got a beef. It doesn't have to be that. What it has to be is, how good do you want to be, son? I want to be the best. Well, I'm going to slide across the table what's required to be the best. Do you want to reevaluate yourself, or are you willing to go down this road with me? And if you're willing to go down this road with me, then I'm going to hold you accountable in moments that are highly uncomfortable for you and for me, and unfortunately for the millions who are watching us. That doesn't mean I'm going to embarrass you, but we have to hold ourselves to a different standard. If the Sacramento Kings, as I told you, if I say NBA world champion Sacramento Kings, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that, Jason. There's a lot of accountability. So that 50-point game, that's not championship. Now, it is one game, but let's look at the film and see all the different things that are unchampionship-esque. Well, that's what Monty, that's what he brings. That's how he lives. And it's not an accident that they made it. Listen, you look at all the take Chris Paul out of the equation and look at everybody else that's there. There's a theme with it. There's a defense. He's got some good kids. He's got some hard-nosed guys that allowed him to coach him and allowed him to get at him. Can I get at you without you saying, oh, man, what is that? Like, are we doing this or are we not? And if we're not, that's okay. But there's the door because I'm going to be here until they fire me. And I think Monty holds that in a way that I love him for. He's a good dude.
Absolutely. On the other side, I found the coaching realm interesting because we had heard Coach Bud on the hot seat. If they don't get through this first round, if they don't beat Brooklyn, he may be gone.
Steaming.
They got through Brooklyn. They got through Atlanta. They got through this series. To his credit, and you've said this, I think they're slow to the adjustments maybe, but they did adjust.
They
got better in every series all the way through. That's credit to the players, certainly credit to the head coach and the coaching staff. I just want to know, I know this sounds totally crazy, but if he's on the hot seat, I know they just won the title. Are you in? If you're all in and committed to Bud, then keep going.
Yeah.
But if there's any reservation or hesitation, move on. I know it's rarely done when
it's
you
weird,
win a title,
right?
But if you don't believe in him.
Oddly enough, I totally agree with you. I think what he's done is he's earned himself the ability to come back and give it a run. Mm-hmm. But if they start out and it's not – because to be honest with you, they shouldn't have got past Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, what? The toe
they did.
Of,
but
the
that's
toe
what
of
you,
Kevin Durant,
yes,
maybe it's different.
That's what you need to win a championship. Understand.
Yeah.
Robert Horry, your what's his name? Steve Kerr, Sean Elliott. Yep. We can go on and on. LeBron Block. Like, you need those
Ray
things.
Ray Allen, corner three. It just, right. These things happen.
But make no mistake about it. That was Giannis Antetokounmpo, bro. Mm-hmm. Bud did adjust. And I've been hard on him, but I'm also giving him hella props because I thought the adjustment of Holiday onto Chris Paul and then even Holiday onto Devin Booker, spectacular stuff. So I could see them moving on. I totally could. Even on their bench, he was up for a job.
Darvin Ham. Yeah.
That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, if they come back and he gets it, that's who's going to move over probably 12 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other things from the series and just seeing it last night. I don't know. There's always a player like this. Boy, that community loves them some Bobby Portis.
Bobby.
Which is cool. I mean, he's been around the league. He's an emotional player.
Yeah.
But I love what he said about what Milwaukee has done for him and the love he gets back. I always think those are kind of cool things. I mean, Giannis is their best player. Holiday was so important. Middleton, so on and so forth. But there's the Bobby. They just love him.
I think what Milwaukee appreciates is somebody who gets down like that.
Yep.
And
he's that guy.
And so do our fans.
Yeah.
They appreciate somebody
very similar.
I'm going to lay it out. I'm a little bit edgy. And a lot of the times the fans are like, hey, come on. And he's right there on top. Like, watch out, little dude. And holding back Chris Paul and laughing. And they appreciate all of the stuff that he brings to the game. And for somebody, I thought that his interview was rather candid.
I did too.
I'm at home with moms. Yeah. I'm in a dark spot.
Yep.
And you guys gave me life.
You lifted me up.
How about that?
And I'm forever grateful. And now I'm a champion. And
yep.
And having the time of my life.
Yeah, and I see, what was his name? Is it Aaron Barnes? The artist that was telling you about for Good Times?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the way the statue of Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to look outside of Pfizer Forum one day.
A couple other things. The awkward flight is coming up Friday. Booker, Middleton, and...
What's so awkward about it?
I guess Booker said something like, well, I don't anticipate us being best buddies, but I mean they're going to be teammates, and I mean that's a pretty grueling series. It's more difficult for Booker, right, than it is for Holiday and
I would
Middleton.
Say this: Holiday and Middleton are really good guys.
Yeah.
Like if myself and Kobe are getting on that plane, there's a little animosity.
Yeah, but then you're also quickly your teammates.
You
very
are.
Quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying on what he said.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Now that's how you become really good friends.
Right.
Larry Bird,
mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson,
yep.
Over a summer, and a tractor.
Yeah.
Here we are.
But there was some time between. Like, this is very fresh wound. But
I mean, I might have the trophy with me. Hey, can this sit beside you?
You got a parachute? Because you're going out.
But
you're going
son!
Out.
Can we talk about someone else who has his reputation has gotten greater from this win?
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers.
How so?
Everyone says he needs another ring. He got one.
Good point.
Touche. Was he at the game last night?
I did not see
him. He had to be there, man. You got to be there.
They would have shown him.
Oh. You see, Larry Fitzgerald was there the other night.
I saw that. Rally the Valley. He was supporting.
Come on, man. You got to be in the house. On top of that, you just be like, I get rings wherever I go.
Yeah. One other thing, too, for me. I thought Malika Andrews post-game.
Oh, spectacular.
Running point.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you,
man.
She
was great. Good questions. That's
timing.
Chaotic. That's, you know, let it go a little. I mean, like, when the chance, she's asking Drew a question. They're going
up.
For Bobby. Where's Bobby? Bring him over here. I'm like, oh, you're kind of cut. But then she went back to Drew.
Yep.
Right over to Bobby. I'm like, well done.
Well done. She was
great.
She was.
I say the weird thing with the separate mic there?
Yeah.
What's the point? There's like 400 people on the court.
That's true. The good intentions, but maybe a bad execution.
Yeah.
But, she was great. I thought she was a star for this six-game series.
Yeah, and in the bubble.
She
burst onto the scene, burst the bubble.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's our look at kind of the totality of the NBA Finals. Series is done. Draft is next. Free agency around the corner. And this season just keeps rolling. All right, next up, the 5 o'clock hour. We got the crossover. We've got to look at some of the news of the day with the Olympic news and so on. But next, it's 5 on It coming your way right here on KHDK.